Member Week is here at Lowe's. That means it's time for MyLowe's Rewards members to save big with up to 40% off hundreds of items like appliances, tools, home essentials, and more. Plus, get free standard shipping. Shop these exclusive member-only savings now through October 15th. Not a rewards member? Join for free today. Free standard shipping not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Welcome to Stone Cold Strohs. I'm Brandon Strange with Charlie Polillo and Josh Jordan. You can find them on X at Polillo and at JoshJordan975. And in between episodes of this show, you can read their blogs covering all things Houston sports over on our flagship site, sportsmap.com. On today's episode, everyone's good luck charms and finger crossing worked because Christian Walker appears to have dodged a bullet. The Yankees do not appear as fortunate. We'll talk about how that could impact the balance of power in the AL. Speaking of walkers, how much leash will Joe Espada give to some of the guys on the bubble? As always, we have some thoughts. Since our last episode, the Astros received some welcome good news. Imaging of Christian Walker's oblique was negative for a strain, which is an absolute best case scenario as far as I'm concerned for oblique soreness. He's headed back to West Palm Beach, will not swing the bat for a few days and then restart his swing progression per Brian McTaggart. Walker called the diagnosis relatively good news, yet no bleep. I was listening to Chandler Rome's podcast and he was saying he thought that perhaps the Walker injury could have been an avenue for Cam Smith to make the opening day roster. And that would be by way of Paredes moving to first and then Smith starting at third. In your opinion, guys, how big of a bullet does Houston appear to have dodged with Walker's oblique? And do you think we were a Christian Walker soft tissue injury away from Smith making the opening day roster?
Provided he's okay going forward, it's a huge bullet dodged. Because even with Cam Smith wowing in a very small sample size of spring training, he makes the team and moves Isak Paredes to first base. You're just opening up more defensive question marks along with the offensive issues. Christian Walker wasn't signed for 3 years, $60 million for nothing. He's supposed to be their cleanup hitter. He missed the month with the oblique last season. The two prior seasons, he played 160 and 157 games. He played 130 games in 2024. So if he hadn't missed the month with the oblique, he'd have played in virtually every game for three full seasons. He is supposed to be a dependable heart of the order hammer and three-time Gold Glove defender. It would have been a large drop-off. So better safe than sorry if he just felt a little sore, a big guy, a lot of torque in his swing, and with a history of oblique issues to go get it checked out, fine. But it's still, we're just into mid-March, so I'm not going to say they're home free now because Christian Walker did strain an oblique in this case. As for Cam Smith, I mean, look, he's the story of the first half plus of spring training, but we're still talking 13 at-bats as of the first of the week. And at-bats that overall, if you graded on a curve, he's faced somewhere between double A and triple A pitching. So it's been fantastic to see a 22-year-old real big-time prospect as opposed to the Astros overhyping marginalized older prospects. But it's probably going to take a little time on Cam Smith. Had Walker been condemned to the injured list going into the season and Cam Smith went nutso the last 2 weeks of spring training, I think it really would have forced the Astros' hand. But if he tapered off even a little bit, more seasoning, not a full season's worth of seasoning if he pounds it in the minor leagues, but a little more seasoning is warranted, and they probably would have tempted with Caratini, Singleton, DeCenzo, and some combo at first base.
Yeah, that's where the way I think it would have shuffled out. I don't know if Cam Smith would have made it. You still had Singleton and some other guys that could play first base, so it'd be fun to see, of course, but the five games in AA last year, it's just, you know, spring training can be very deceptive. So I'm fine with that. Give him a little time to round into form, get used to AA, maybe AAA pitching. With Christian Walker, yeah, this is a big one because with him missing the entire month of August and then only hitting like 230 something when he came back, you would worry if there was something on that imaging, was it damaged goods to where the injury was lingering from last year, not even maybe a new injury. So the imaging coming back and showing that you're good, he's just having a little bit of discomfort, the Astros word there, it's a great sign. And it could have been really bad, because the Astros, they've had some ups and downs signing these guys, in their mid-30s. He'll be 34 here at the end of March. So this is something you have to keep an eye on. But he's the big bat you brought in. There is a lot on Christian Walker, providing some thump in this lineup that the Astros are counting on.
Allow me a brief stone cold story time. A long time ago, there was a guy who crushed it in the minor leagues, but he only had 15 at-bats above single A. The following spring training, wow, this guy is going crazy. We should give him a shot. Youth, potential, freshness, excitement. But they couldn't figure out where we were going to play him in the field. The thought was third baseman by nature, but is there an opening there? Can we play him at first base? Really not a spot just yet. Well, we're not sending him to the minors. Stick him in left field to start the season the first game. The second game, we'll try him in right field. Then he moved to third base for a little while. Then he settled in at first base. His name is Albert Pujols, 2000 Rookie of the Year with the Cardinals, after only 15 at-bats above single A as a 20-year-old way back when. Now, I am not projecting Cam Smith to be anywhere close to Albert Pujols, one of the five greatest right-handed hitters of all time, possibly. But you don't want the truly special ones to become languishing in the minor leagues any longer than necessary once they've showed, hey, they own the minor leagues, you get him up. But Cam Smith probably is ticketed for at least a little bit more time in the minor leagues.
I agree. And there's also a real danger in putting too many eggs in the Cam Smith basket. And while it is fun to invoke those comparisons, I also won't go as far as invoking the Justin Dearden comparison, because Dearden was never considered a top tier prospect. There's a reason why you got Cam Smith in this trade, and that's because he has high value to him. So he should project out to be a major leaguer, but when he's ready for that is certainly the question. I don't think there's going to be anything that Cam can do to make the opening day roster right now, but I'm excited about him. Let's see some sustained success in the minors, and let's see him put pressure on Dana to call him up to the big club. Just a quick message. If you're interested in advertising your service or product on this show, you can contact our friends on the sales team at houston.sportsmap.com/advertise. The link is in our description. Now, while Cam's been raking, the bats overall have been relatively quiet this spring. Yordan has 3 hits and a homer. Altuve, 2 hits and a homer. Jeremy Pena hitting .500, 8 hits, 2 home runs, 4 RBI, no walks, but why walk when you're making so much contact? Paredes hitting .286, 4 hits, 1 home run, 4 walks. Zach DiZenzo, 7 hits and a homer, 3 RBIs. Dubon, 1 hit, 5 strikeouts, 1 walk, and 19 at-bats. Chaz only 2 hits over 13 at-bats, but 6 walks, giving him an on-base percentage of .476. So the hits haven't been there early, but at least he got the memo about the Astros' focus on more disciplined at-bats this season. He has 3 stolen bases to go along with that as well. Jake Myers, 5 hits, 1 home run, and 17 at-bats, but 6 strikeouts. So we know this team will be a work in progress. And Joe Espada is going to be the chef, playing around with the ingredients, looking for a winning recipe. How far into the season do you expect we'll be before Houston settles into its final form, specifically at second base and at right field?
Well, taking 2024 as an example in the outfield, I'm not sure they ever settle into final form. Right? They kept throwing darts at the board for a third outfielder, from Joey Loperfido and Pedro Leon and Trey Cabbage to signing Ben Gamel and Jason Hayward off the street. And there was never any final resolution. And in the outfield, certainly McCormick in right field qualifies as at least on probation or shaky ground. And at second base, you just don't want Mauricio Dubon as an everyday player. It undercuts his value as a super utility man. And the offense projection of Dubon, Myers, McCormick in whatever order, 7, 8, 9, that is a real weak bottom of the third. And that is supposing that Jeremy Pena is going to be a quality number 6 hitter.
the data is just inconsequential, right? It's good to see, just as with Cam Smith. Ooh, this is exciting. So that Jeremy Pena is 8 for 16. Well, he had stretches last season where he went 8 for 16. It really doesn't mean anything more than Jose Altuve being 2 for 15 or Yordan batting 176 to this point in spring training. I mean, it's just, it's too granular. You know, you'd always like to have optimistic things rather than pessimistic, but to build anything off of it, right? That Dubon is 1 for 19 and he hadn't walked at all, or he's walked once. Yiner Diaz, 3 for 25, 120 without a walk. That's a bummer. You'd like to see better habits being formed, better pitch recognition. And in the case of Chaz, I haven't seen all his spring plate appearances. And he's been working counts for those walks, or has he faced some A-ball minor leaguer who was nowhere close to the strike zone in one or two of those? So the numbers are just too small to really build anything off. But specifically at second base, will they get enough out of the bottom of the lineup, Dubon included, for him to settle in there? Or are they going to wind up trying a Brendan Rodgers here or there? Or if the offense is so bad, does that hasten Cam Smith getting a shot at third? Because, well, we'll cross our fingers and hope Paredes is up to it defensively at second base. I think it's just a lot of potential ball juggling.
For me, I think it could be back and forth all season long, like Charlie mentioned, like last year. I think where I'll start is I think Chaz will get 5 or 6 weeks, at least a month. I think maybe when May comes around, if Chaz and Dubon are not delivering and they are playing regularly, of course, this depends on Altuve. Does it work out in left field for him? And they stick with that. And we heard the other day that there's still Dave Clark talking about Yordan needing to be playing twice a week in left field. So we're getting a lot of this going on with the Astros, but I think if Chaz is struggling or Dubon by the time we get to May, I think they'll try somebody else. But that doesn't mean that's going to take. That's the problem, right? If that solution doesn't work out, then they may be going back to Chaz or going back to Dubon, and it's something we deal with all year. Or maybe Dana Brown finds a trade, something like that. Or maybe somebody we're not even really talking about that much starts killing it in the minor leagues that's not Cam Smith. What if that happened? That would be wild. They sure are giving DiCenzo an opportunity to play all over the place. And he's been all right. He's not walking at all. He has zero, but he is hitting 292, you know, has a home run, some RBIs. So we'll see. But that's the good thing. That's what's kind of fun about this Astros year is everything isn't locked in. Joe Espada is going to just give a lot of guys opportunities and see who comes through. Out of all those stats that you dropped there, Brandon, the one that I kind of like is that Pena has twice as many home runs as he does strikeouts, 2 home runs and 1 strikeout this year. So if Pena can take that step, what everybody's talking about, be a leader and really come into his own as an offensive player this year, I think that's really what they need, especially with, you know, third base. That's new. Bregman's not over there. Pena can kind of be that guy. I think that'd be a big first step.
If Cam Smith puts pressure on Dana Brown by way of production to bring him up to the big club, do you think it's more likely we see Paredes get moved to second to accommodate Smith at his natural position at third? Or if they find some sort of solution at second and they don't want to move Paredes off of third, do you think we might likely see Cam Smith's avenue to this team be through right field?
I'm a little surprised. Now, you can go work on the backfields and in B games, but Cam Smith hasn't started breaking in the outfield glove. I think Chaz McCormick is the guy. You know, there's the general notion, well, it takes 100, 150 plate appearances into a season before you start passing judgment on where a guy is. Well, Chaz was worse, a whole lot more than 150 plate appearances worth last season. So does that shorten the fuse on when it would detonate on Chaz's time in the outfield? You know, of all the positions he played, not much right field for Dubon. We know that he has an outfield arm to play there. What will they decide is their best defensive alignment if Smith, Paredes, and Dubon are included? Right, Cam Smith, who basically has played no outfield, Isak Paredes would project as a poor defensive second baseman, and he's thought to be okay defensively at third. No way you're going to play him in right field. So would they say Dubon at second, Smith at third? Smith in right, Paredes at third is preferable to moving Dubon to the outfield and Paredes to second and Smith to third. And those combinations are predicated on Chaz McCormick being the guy that they first say, we have to get him out of the lineup. Because while I can hear the calls for Jake Myers, he's the worst offensive profile. Well, really, his offensive profile is no worse than Dubon's. And he has the hang his hat on going and running balls down in center field, which is of substantial value.
I don't see how they put Cam Smith out in right field without any experience. I mean, he's never played out there professionally before. And they just talked about he's starting to get some reps in there the other day. And I mean, he's just starting to get reps. I don't see how you bring him up to the big leagues and you throw him into a brand new position. Just doesn't feel like something the Astros would do, that Dana Brown would feel comfortable with. So I think if he does make the squad, it would be at third base if it's early on this season. I almost wonder if they'd like to see him play a whole minor league year in right field before they try and do that. I know that's not what Astros fans want to hear, and this guy's an exciting prospect, get him up to the big leagues. But if third base is not where they're going to play him, then you know that's a big deal playing right field in that ballpark. And you know how much the Astros value defense. They said Christian Walker being a Gold Glover at first base was even more impressive to them than the 30 home run potential. So I just think it's a deal where Cam Smith, they're going to want to see him get some reps in right field. And then, yeah, you are getting worse if you put Paredes at second base. Is he going to be as bad as Altuve was? I don't know. But Astros really value defense, so I'm very curious to see how they're going to play this.
Speaking of things Astros fans don't want to hear, Charlie, I hear you talk about how Jake Myers' value is entirely on his defense. Whatever he gives you, offensive production is gravy compared to what the expectation is him being a go-get-it center fielder. Is there a level of production or lack thereof which forces him off the team, in which it becomes a thing of they can't ignore it anymore, where the defensive value for him just doesn't buy him a place on this team anymore?
Yeah, where does the sliding scale stop? I mean, Jake Myers was a wretched offensive player last season, but he was a better offensive player than Chaz McCormick was, and he was very comparable to Mauricio Dubon. He's obviously a better center fielder than both of those guys. Dubon can throw it pretty well out there, but all the metrics, that Jake Myers is a plus guy. But you know what? He's not the only center fielder in Major League. Julio Rodriguez can go run balls down well. He doesn't suck offensively. Jaron Duran with the Red Sox can go run balls down well. Fabulous offensive player. I would like to think if Myers cannot top 700 with his OPS, and he was 660 range last season, that you want to get him out of there. So, hey, Jacob Melton, get off to a fast start and sustain at AAA, because he is the looming alternative, unless Chaz McCormick has an amazing revival and you'd prefer to move Chaz to center with whoever else then would be playing in right.
Yeah, Jacob Melton was what I was thinking too, Charlie. We saw him get in some action coming back from the back soreness, got a base hit the other day. So maybe there's something there, and he provides something that they just need so much. He can hit left-handed if he can actually turn out to be able to hit. That's something they need in this lineup from the outfield. He's a perfect example of maybe one of these prospects that's not Cam Smith that could surprise and have a really good start to the minor leagues this year and get elevated. But the thing with Chaz, I am liking that he's seeing more pitches. That was the big thing. He's walking more. So at least that's a good early indicator that he's trying to make some adjustments. Maybe we'll see him break out of this funk. At least he's proved it before. He's had good seasons in the past. He was just so bad last year and fighting injury. But it's kind of now or never for Chaz. And I really feel like he's got about 5 or 6 weeks to make his point if he's going to stick with the club before they at least try somebody else.
On the topic of areas that Houston is still looking for answers in, let's shift over to the bullpen, because Dana Brown has said that it has holes and that they are looking for competition in the 5 to 7 areas, guys that can bridge to Abreu and Hader and help alleviate them, take some innings off of them this season. And towards that search, Houston signs veteran lefty and former Rocky and Pirate Jalen Beeks. On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being no worries and 10 being very concerned, how do you grade Houston's middle relief situation as we head into the season?
I'll peg it at 5.5. Yeah, there are concerns. Find a bullpen that doesn't have one once you get down to the 5th, 6th, 7th relievers. And to use those numbers, amusing, it's the era in which we live. Dana Brown's thinking, yeah, we need guys to cover the 5th, 6th, 7th inning. Any starter doesn't get these 5 innings. He was the problem, not your long reliever types. And as we've discussed, I mean, Josh Hader needs to be better than he was in his debut season with the Astros. Right? Brian Abreu, I think, is the one guy you'd consider most money in the bank out of the bullpen. And after that, yeah, a whole bunch of question marks, but that's really not terribly beyond the norm, other than maybe a handful of teams in the major leagues. So kind of like the Astros' overall roster, right? The days of them being a superpower and seemingly elite all over the diamond and in the rotation and the pen, that window has closed. But their window of competitiveness and a chance to go back to the playoffs certainly has not. And frankly, that they've had a couple of relievers come up lame this spring, hell of a lot better than having starting pitchers, quality starting pitchers, come up lame. See Yankees Gerrit Cole, Luis Gil. See Seattle Mariners George Kirby, 190 inning starter last season, a guy who's repeatedly owned the Astros in starts since coming to the major leagues. He's opening the season, shoulder inflammation on the injured list. Fromber, Hunter Brown, Ronel Blanco, Hayden Wesneski, and who did I skip over there? I skipped over someone. I just named 4 guys. But all 5 so far for the Astros projected rotation, not a hiccup reported. I mean, McCullough is ready to face batters and Garcia, but you know, their 5 starters are solid. I'm not particularly worried about who's going to pitch the 5th and even 6th inning in relief, because most teams have to worry about that.
A lot of teams are thin in that area. It's normal. But I will say this. I think it's going to be more important at the beginning of the season how innings 5 through 7 do. Because, you know, even your best guys, you're lucky if they give you 5 innings in their first start. I think Hunter Brown maybe gave you 4 in his first start last year. That's pretty common. It takes a couple times.
Ronald gave 9.
Yes. It takes a couple times through the rotation before you build up that pitch count. So early on, I could see the guy in the 5th or 6th inning, if he crumbles, that could cost you the game right there. And it's not like the Astros offense is expected to be quite as explosive as it has been in the last couple of years. When I looked at Beeks, the pickup here, he did have 10 saves last year, ERA 4.5, nothing spectacular, whip a little high at 1.49. I looked at his pitches, fastball averages just a tick under 95 miles an hour. After that, the changeup is his next biggest pitch, and then the cutter. So he's really only a 3-pitch pitcher, fastball, 4-seamer, change, and a cutter. Bennett Sousa has just really struggled this spring. So it wouldn't surprise me if he doesn't make it, and they, you know, Beeks maybe makes it as the other lefty to go along with King.
The Sousa phone call to the bullpen probably not coming. See what I did there? You do. You wish you didn't, but you do. Steven Okert. 5 hitless innings, another journeyman lefty reliever. Will the Astros go just off the spring training results or off their analytics and how they tweak guys' repertoire? But we know they're going to break camp with 8 relievers after the 5 starters. 2 are absolute locks. I think we can safely call Taylor Scott a lock. I consider Forrest Whitley a lock to make the team role to be determined. And then you have those last few spots with Rafael Montero saying, don't forget about me. I think most are ready to forget.
I'd like to. I guess I skipped right over my pitching updates because, Charlie, you mentioned McCullers being really, really close to getting into a game. Luis Garcia, they say he could throw live BP soon. That makes it sound like Garcia is just a matter of weeks behind Lance. So if they can get those guys in subsequent fashion up sooner than later, that would be a real win for them. Whether that happens and how quickly that happens remains to be seen. You mentioned Whitley. Whitley's carrying a 1.80 ERA with 5 strikeouts, 1 home run surrendered over 5 innings pitched. So super small sample size. But I got to say, I'm excited that Whitley's on track to make the big club just because I thought it was never going to happen. So the fact that we're actually going to see what Forrest Whitley looks like as an Astro on the big league club outside of, you know, 3 innings last season. Cool. I'm excited. Let's see what he has. And I agree that the value of middle relief for this team is going to be tied to how much they get out of their starters, because Houston's been able to cover over a lot of pop marks on this team, especially on the offensive side, because of the quality output they've been able to get, whether it was JP France giving them unexpected production season before, or last year, Ronel Blanco coming out of nowhere to give them meaningful starting innings. So it's, they've been able to really pull some rabbits out of their hat using their starting rotation. So how serious and dire their deficiencies are at middle relief, I think, is going to tie back to what do their starters get them? Because if their starters can't get out of the third inning, and then you're putting a lot of innings on middle relief to bridge, that's not a good recipe for sustained success, obviously. So we will keep our eyes on that. Charlie, you brought up some stuff that we need to talk about, injuries on other teams. You mentioned Gerrit Cole, but Giancarlo Stanton told the media over the weekend that he has severe injuries in both elbows. He's trying to rehab those without the benefit of surgery that he says would end his season. He has no timeline for his availability. And of course, that news was, as we said, bookended by the revelation that Gerrit Cole was seeking a second opinion on his elbow. And then subsequently, the report confirmed that he was recommended to have Tommy John surgery. Now, the Yankees are still statistically the odds-on favorite to make the World Series out of the AL, at least as of this recording. But betting odds aside, how do you think this rebalances the power rankings in the AL?
Well, shame on anyone as a fan of any team taking delight in injuries to a hated rival, divisional foe, whatever the case. But if such injuries happen, there's nothing wrong with thinking, better them than us. So for the Orioles, who also have pitching woes going into this season, for the Red Sox, who are trying to reestablish themselves as an upper echelon franchise, throw in the Rays with 35 pitchers seemingly coming back from Tommy John surgery. These are all great developments. That the Yankees are odds on to win anything now, to me, is off the table. If Gerrit Cole misses the year, now keep in mind, he didn't start a season until June last year because he had an arm issue. But he was solid, and then in the postseason, he was stellar until the Game 5 meltdown against the Dodgers. But that's a big blow. Now, they signed Max Fried to give them 180 innings, but if that's not upgrading their staff, it's merely compensating for Cole. Right? You know, Marcus Stroman comes out of mothballs now and goes back in their rotation. What kind of year does Carlos Rodon have? And if they lose Stanton, death taxes and Stanton spending time on the injured list every year. But I mean, if he's going to miss the whole season and you have to get to the postseason for it to matter. But, you know, Giancarlo Stanton has a career postseason OPS 50 points higher than Yordan Alvarez. And we know Yordan's been a postseason monster. So really bad for the Yankees starting for their opponents within the AL East. It's good news. But then beyond that, let's say the Yankees and Astros are in wildcard contention because the Rangers and Red Sox are going to win their divisions. Well, the Yankee ceiling is reduced. Right? Luis Gil was rookie of the year, and he's gone for at least a couple of months into the season. So again, poor form to be gleeful over major Yankees injuries, but stuff happens.
Yeah, it's baseball. When you know you throw 99 miles an hour for that many years, eventually something's going to start having some issues. And you know, it's not like the Astros would have had the budget to do a Gerrit Cole type deal, 9 years, $324 million. But these are some of the reasons Jim Crane likes to stay away from 9-year deals, because if Gerrit Cole does end up having to have Tommy John surgery, he's going to miss basically two seasons. That's kind of where we are now. You're lucky to be back in 18 months. And if he wouldn't have even had the surgery here for several more weeks, he's probably going to miss this season and probably next season too. At $36 million a year, $72 million you're paying this guy to rehab. So that's, and as we're looking at Fromber, and oh, do you want to extend Fromber and give him a long-term contract? We saw it with Verlander. It's risky business when you sign these long-term deals to pitchers, because at some point it seems like they all end up having to have Tommy John surgery. So this is a big deal for the Yankees. We know how good Gerrit Cole is, and losing him, I know Stanton is too, but man, pitchers in the postseason, especially guys like Gerrit Cole, this is a big deal. And like I said, it could impact them next year in the postseason. I just, you know, I don't take any satisfaction in seeing him get hurt. But as an Astro fan, I'm like, okay, at least it's balancing out a little bit. You know, when Lance McCullers hasn't pitched in forever because of arm injuries. We lost Christian Javier to Tommy John last year. We lost Urquidy to Tommy John last year. We lost JP France to a shoulder injury. So it's nice to see that, you know, it gets spread around to all the teams. Eventually, you're going to get bitten by the injury bug.
And you know how awful these super contracts look on the back end of a guy's career anyway, but how much worse does it look when you're going to lose Gerrit Cole during, you know, basically two prime seasons? Again, we don't know the eventual outcome of this. He still is awaiting results of a second opinion. And again, best wishes to him. We don't wish anything bad upon anybody. Obviously, he pitched like a beast while he was here. But that being said, that contract looks that much more worse when you're going to miss two full seasons, basically, of his prime. We're running long here. So one last reminder, if you're watching on YouTube and you haven't yet, be sure to click like on the video. And if you listen on podcasts on apps like Apple or Spotify, please consider give us a 5-star rating. Let us know in the comments what your thoughts are on the preseason, who you're excited to see. Are you excited to see Forrest Whitley? What do you think we're going to see out of him? Let us know, and we may feature your comment on a future episode. Our next episode drops on Thursday. Make sure you're subscribed to this channel, Sports Map Houston, and our other channel, Sports Map Texans. We drop bonus episodes as news breaks. Thanks for listening. For Charlie, Josh, I'm Brandon, saying so long. Until next time, go Stros.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.